This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You know, we have a really good ball club, and I think we have a really good opportunity to have a lot of success this year and, you know, make it to the playoffs and have a run at the World Series. So, you know, I say it every year, that's our goal, to, you know, get to the World Series and win. So I don't see a whole lot of point in showing up just to come out and play some games and go home at the end of the day. You want to come up, show up, and win. You know, that's kind of what our jobs are revolved around, and, you know, that's what we like to do. We don't like to just come out here and just kind of run around. We want to come out and win games and, you know, play it at a high level and have a lot of fun doing it.
We're back live with more Rami Metcalf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
With you for about 45 minutes, taking you right up to DePaul and St. John's right here on The Score. Coming up a little later in the hour, I did some math on these Bears ticket prices and them going up 10% this year. The numbers are interesting. The numbers are very, very interesting. And I'll tell you exactly what I mean by that coming up at about 7:20. But joining me now on The Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. You can find his work at BleacherNation.com and follow him on Twitter at Michael_Cerami. It is Michael Cerami joining me on The Score Evening Show. Michael, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. You know, this isn't where I was planning on starting the interview, but since Kyle Tucker has said the words World Series, I'll just start big picture with you and with a big question for you, Michael. Is that something Cubs fans should be realistically thinking about heading into this season?
I think the Cubs are, the 2025 Chicago Cubs are no doubt playoff contenders. I think they are expected to win their division and should be held to that standard. And I think that going beyond the NLDS is probably the furthest I'd be willing to, you know, put my money where my mouth is. I don't think that they're a clear World Series contender. I've written this over the offseason. I think they sort of came a piece short. And when I say one piece short, I don't mean of catching the Dodgers, you know, which is a super team if we've ever seen one, but really of becoming one of those teams that you can project a reasonable chance of winning the first or second seed in the National League, which now matters a great deal. I think a lot of people forget about that. This year, I think they're a little short of that. So, no, I don't think I would say I'm betting on them to be World Series contenders, but playoff contenders, a good playoff run, that is absolutely the expectation. Anything after that would be gravy.
How'd you feel about that Kyle Tucker trade? I mean, I love that the Cubs went and got a guy of that caliber, but with 1 year left on the deal, it scares me. It flat out scares me. And I said earlier in the show, I've said a number of times here on the air, that if you don't win a World Series this year or re-sign that guy in the offseason, you lost that trade. That trade was a fail. Am I overstating things in saying that?
If the Cubs go to the NLCS and play six games against the Dodgers, I don't think it's a loss. I think that's a pretty entertaining summer and a great way to spend your, you know, prospect capital, especially when you have sort of a log jam at the position. I mean, the big things they gave up were Isak Paredes and Cam Smith. And Isak Paredes, you know, I actually think he has a great deal more value than Cubs fans gave him, because he had a sort of rough offensive performance at Wrigley and then a rough overall defensive performance in a short time with the Cubs. But he's a young guy with a lot of but a pretty good track record and probably will do very well the Astros next year. But, you know, you have Matt Shaw here and ready, and you're hoping to see what you can get out of him. And then if you're looking at it the same way, you have Cam Smith, the third base prospect. The Cubs only just drafted in the first round last year and not particularly high up in the draft. And to be able to sort of turn Christopher Morel, who was traded for Paredes, and a mid-first-round draft pick into 1 year of a superstar player, it could work out, but that's almost not how I like to think about it. My concern is not whether or not they're going to win or lose this trade. It's sort of the expectations that it set up for the offseason, just like it happened with Craig Counsell a year ago. And it was like the Cubs signed Craig Counsell, and you go, well, surely they're going to go full, you know, force into the offseason from here. You don't sign one of the best managers in baseball to the largest managerial contract in sport history and then do not that much after that, right? And they kind of didn't do that much after that. Michael Busch and Shohei Imanaga were great additions, but, you know, those were not high leverage moves. This year, you go and get Kyle Tucker, and you go, wow, look at that. 1 year left on his contract. The Cubs are going to go out there and, you know, and finally put all their chips to the middle and go all in on this team for this year. Because, to your point, the value of the trade, it does take a hit if you lose him after the year, which is a distinct possibility. And they kind of didn't do that either. They added a lot of nice complimentary pieces, but they missed out on Tanner Scott. They missed out on Roki Sasaki, and they missed out on Alex Bregman. And those are three pretty significant pieces. You know, a top of the rotation starter, the bona fide best free agent closer on the market, and one of the best, you know, one of the better third basemen and one of the best hitters available this offseason. They didn't get any of those guys, and it's great that they tried, but to me, that just shows that they knew they are still a piece short and they couldn't get that done. So that's what's more disappointing. That's more how I'm thinking of this Tucker trade. It's like, listen, if they go out and have a great run, fine, it's great. It was a good use of capital. They had the talent in-house to go out and have a big trade for a guy like this, but they just didn't do enough around him. And that's not any fault of Tucker's. That's the front office and ownership not quite completing what they started for the second year in a row.
Talking with Michael Cirami of Bleacher Nation here on the Score Evening Show. You sort of encapsulated how I felt about this offseason and all offseason, Michael. I was saying they're acting like a mid-market team. They're not a small market. They're not acting like a Pittsburgh or something like that, but they're also not acting like a New York or an LA. And this is the third largest market in the country here in Chicago. And I felt like they were acting beneath themselves and acting like a mid-market team. And you just brought up Craig Counsell. I have this theory, Michael, especially the way that they handled this offseason and acting like a mid-market team, that maybe they spent all that money on Craig Counsell because they thought, well, we can bring this guy in. We can put together a mid-market type of roster, and based on what we've seen him do in Milwaukee, he'll get the most out of that and put us in contention with the Mets and the Dodgers of the world. Do you think that's why they spent so much on Craig Counsell while not spending as much as you and I would like to see them on the roster itself?
You know, I'm going to give an answer here that I don't want to have this sound like an excuse, let's say, for the front office. Because let me say this. Whether you are the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Mets, let's say, the three, you know, biggest spending teams in baseball, you want Craig Counsell as your manager because getting more out of what you have is always better than not.
Sure.
So,
yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, is that the reason they wanted him? Or is it just you want the best manager available? So I don't really think that that's the indictment that you sort of were, I think, leading. I think there's plenty of other reasons to question what their, you know, budgetary restrictions are. For example, yeah, they sort of put themselves in a position to extend themselves for Alex Bregman. But some of the quotes from Jed Foyer amounted to him saying, we were already pretty much at our budget, and we had asked for this extra money. And that would be one thing if it was just this year, having gone to the very first threshold of luxury tax last season. But he said the same thing about last year. He goes, it was kind of like last February when we signed Cody Bellinger, and we were already at our budget and then had to ask for the additional funds to get to Cody Bellinger. And it's like, well, wait a second now. Is what we're supposed to take away from this that the Cubs' actual budget is around $220 million for purposes of the competitive balance tax? Because if so, I mean, that's incredible and embarrassing. I mean, that is absolutely unacceptable and should not be the case. Again, I get that they did go higher, but it seems like it was a special case last year, and it would have been a special case this year. And I don't know how you can possibly justify a luxury tax payroll that I'm looking at right now, because I wrote about it this week, is 14th in baseball. 14th. 13 teams are spending more. And the same goes for their actual on-field payroll. I think after the Justin Turner move, which I liked, they moved up to 12th, just barely above the Arizona Diamondbacks. Again, this is not just the Chicago Cubs. I'm fine with any argument that anyone that pushes back and says they're never going to spend like the Dodgers, who have not only a larger market, but a very unique situation financially with their TV deal. The Mets, who have a very unique situation with their owner, the richest owner in baseball, or the Yankees, who are in New York and have the revenue pull of the Yankees. Okay, fine. They can always be the top three. I will never expect the Cubs to beat them. I think that's probably unfair, but it would be understandable. To not even come close to the top 10 is incredible. And to not do it in a year where you are very clearly pushing all in to win. It's not only Jed Hoyer's final year under contract. It's not only Carter Hawkins' final year under contract. It's also your closer, Ryan Presley, and your best player, Kyle Tucker. They're all free agents after this season. So it's not now when, to steal a line that Ken Rosenthal wrote in The Athletic lately. And I don't know, because every sign that you could possibly conceive of points to this being the sort of year that you would want to push in, and they didn't do it. And I'm happy with some of the moves they did make. I think they got some good players. I think they'll be a good team. Still leaves a lot to be desired.
You know, and this is something that just popped into my head as we're having this conversation, Michael, talking with Michael Cirami of Bleacher Nation. And you lay out those contract situations of Jed Hoyer and his staff, and we talked about Kyle Tucker and that contract situation. Do you think the Ricketts are maybe looking at this thing as, okay, you have 1 year, and if this thing works and it looks like it could be something moving forward, we'll pay Jed Hoyer, we'll pay Carter Hawkins, we'll bring back Kyle Tucker, and we'll go all in on this version of the Chicago Cubs for the next few years and think they can make a run. And if not, and this terrifies me, Michael, if not, blow it up from the front office all the way down to the roster, and now we're back down to rubble and starting a rebuild all over again, like we found ourselves in, I don't know what it was, 2014, I think, when Theo Epstein came over. Do you think that's what we're looking at right now in terms of the Ricketts thought process on this baseball team and how and when they'll spend on it?
No, so I think that's unfortunately both too charitable and maybe a problem in and of itself. But I don't think that this team is headed for a rebuild or anything of the nature. I mean, even looking at the big league level, they have a lot of young talent that has already sort of established itself. I mean, no one's going to say Pete Crow Armstrong is established, but he had a fantastic second half and looks like a surefire, top elite defensive center fielder with, elite speed as well. So there's going to be a place for him. Michael Busch looks pretty good. Every single scout seems to fawn over Matt Shaw. We'll see what happens, but he's a prospect, but he's here. Michael Busch, Miguel Amaya. There's a lot of Dansby Swanson and Nico Horner are still around for a longer time. There's plenty of talent. My concern is more so that by not going in this year, let's say you're right. Let's say the Cubs do have a really great, postseason run this year, and they go, Jed Hoyer, you did a great job. You're extended. Carter Hawkins, you're extended, and here's a much bigger budget for 2026 and beyond. Well, you're about to burn some prime years of Seiya Suzuki, Shota Imanaga, Ian Happ, Dansby Swanson, who's older than some of the other guys I mentioned. there's a lot of talent, but a lot of these guys are like in the thick of their late 20s, early 30s, where you can't just expect them to continue to deliver the sort of performances they have in the past again and again and again. Like, you have to strike at the exact right intersection of veterans hitting their stride and young players coming up to contribute. That's when you supplement the roster with guys like Kyle Tucker and continue to supplement it through free agency and trade. And so that's really why I think it's like, I think they'll be good in 2026 pretty much no matter what. But banking all of that on how it goes this year is a problem, because this year matters too. And it may be one of their best chances because of those veteran players and where they are in their, you know, trajectory as they age through the league.
Do you think there's any chance that Kyle, I know he's a Scott Boras guy. Do you think there's any chance they sign Kyle Tucker to an extension during the season, or is that a pipe dream?
I believe he's not a Scott Boras guy, for what it's worth. So that is actually working in the Cubs' favor. Not because the Cubs have any particular aversion to Scott Boras. They got a deal done for Cody Bellinger twice, really. But it still works in the Cubs' favor that he's not a Boras client. That said, I have no expectation of an extension happening before the season, and certainly not in season. That just doesn't seem likely for a guy like Kyle Tucker, who is on the precipice of potentially making a boatload of money. He had a fantastic, I lot of my friends are Cubs fans, and they're not as crazy about it as I am, right? And they're familiar with Kyle Tucker. They know who he is. I don't think they quite appreciate the superstar player that he is capable of being. And so Kyle Tucker's not as young as Juan Soto was this offseason. And he's not as young as Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will be as a free agent next year, but he is an incredibly talented player. He's still pretty young, 27, and he's going to hit free agency following these mega monster contracts that have reset the market. And it's not going to be, it's going to be very difficult for him to look at anything the Cubs offer now and not think about what can be in 6 months if he just has another typical Kyle Tucker season, let alone if he continues the success and upward trajectory he started last year before his injury. I mean, if he has a full season of what he looked like in the first half last year, he'll get over $350 million and maybe more. I mean, given the way things have gone. So no, I don't think there's going to be an extension. I don't think that will be because the Cubs are unwilling to do what it takes. I think that Tucker would probably just be wise to wait and see. The advantage the Cubs have, of course, is they get to sell him on the city and the experience and the Cubs and Wrigley Field this year and hope that he likes it here. And hopefully a lot of winning happens and there's a lot of good vibes and energy. And again, hopefully the Cubs are in a position to make the sort of deal that could keep him in town. I'm not sure how that's going to happen if they are in the middle of a president of baseball operations search for someone new and a GM search for someone new. Is that guy going to come in and immediately hand out a $400 million contract? That's probably not ideal. So hopefully they shore something up on that end first, because I do think that you're right on in that keeping Kyle Tucker in the city for the rest of his career should be a priority for the organization.
You brought up Cody Bellinger earlier, and that was probably the move that rubbed me the wrong way the most this offseason. Not because, you know, Cody Bellinger is inexpendable and you'd never trade that guy, but it looked like purely a money move to me, Michael, in terms of you traded him and did not really get quality back in return in terms of the players you got. And I was talking with Bruce Levine, our baseball insider here on The Score last week, and he pointed out, I can't believe I completely missed this. It wasn't on my radar. This is a team, and they did sign Justin Turner since, who can back up at first base, but this was a team that was reporting to spring training and still kind of wondering, who's your backup center fielder and your backup first baseman? Those are both spots that Cody Bellinger could have filled for you and filled quite well, in addition to the fact that he can DH and a number of other guys on this roster can DH, and Craig Counsell certainly knows how to use roster flexibility. What did you make of that move? Can you justify that move and explain it to me as anything other than a money-saving move?
No. And no one can, okay, because that's what it was. I mean, okay. No, and let me expound on it a bit. There's a very, like, reasonable argument for why Cody Bellinger the player, ignore all of the aspects of the deal and everything else, was the right guy to move, right? Because at first base, you have another lefty, Michael Busch, who is young and on the upswing and you know, a pretty strong bet to outperform Cody Bellinger offensively and has made great strides defensively at first base last season. I'm very excited about Michael Busch. You get Kyle Tucker to play right field. You're not sitting PCA. You're going to give him every single opportunity to run away with this. And Ian Happ has been a steady contributor who's under a long-term contract, no trade clause, all that stuff. Okay. So fine. The player himself is the sort of player that you can move when you already have Seiya Suzuki at DH as your fourth outfielder, let's say. So that part I understand. The next part of it, though, is that if you're going to trade him for only salary, which is an incredible statement for the Chicago Cubs, you should have gone and used all of that salary.
Yes.
They did
yes.
not. Absolutely did not. And if you're not going to trade him for salary relief, then you should have traded him for a better return, a return that makes that is, you know, commensurate with the value that he brings and has specifically to the Yankees, who were looking for a center field, first base backup, and love left-handed bats for that short porch in right field. So it is absolutely incredible that they traded a valuable player for nothing. They got salary relief. They got a player. They got a pitcher. It just was incredible. And so, again, I understand, you know, the baseball reasons behind it, and I actually agree with them. I think it makes sense. Maybe Wrigley Field wasn't the best place for him. But to do that move and to not get anything back in return of significance in the trade and then not use the financial savings that were the entire impetus for the deal in the first place on rounding out the rest of your roster, maybe at the top of the rotation arm or going above and beyond for Tanner Scott or whatever that may have been. I mean, it's just very disappointing. And that's why, again, I'm trying to balance these commingling feelings of like, yeah, this team is very good on paper and they are set up to win this year. They are. Like, I am excited about the season. I can't wait. And also I feel this, like, this drop of this pit, you know, in the pit of my stomach where you're like, I know that they came up just a little short of where they should be. And in a normal year, that's one thing. But in a year where it's very clearly geared to maximize wins on the field this season, that feels like a pretty big whiff.
Yeah. I was saying right before I brought you on, Michael, I was disappointed with the way that the offseason went. And I think that was maybe affecting my optimism or expectations for the coming season, because the closer we get to it and the more I read up and read people from around the baseball world talking about how good this offseason was for the Cubs and how good a baseball team they can be, it's shaping up to be a good team, and I feel like I need to remind myself of that because of my disappointment of the offseason. Just real quick before I let you go, Michael, the free agency is pretty much done with everybody in spring training. Right, no big prizes out there on the market, but anybody out there who'd like to see the Cubs go out and grab the sort of, I don't know, put the finishing touches on this roster before they're playing for real?
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone listening heads over to BleacherNation.com, I actually wrote an article about it today. There are two former Cubs relievers, David Robertson, who has been excellent over the last 3 years, truly like very, very good. He's old, but he's been incredible. And Andrew Chafin, who is a lefty. I think either one of those guys could really put a nice bow on the Cubs offseason. You miss out on Bregman, but you go and get, you know, Justin Turner, who's maybe the best available bat still on the market. And then you get one of the better relievers in David Robertson or a lefty like Andrew Chafin to help fill that role in the Cubs bullpen. If you do those two things, I feel a lot more, the offseason feels a lot more complete. You made a significant investment in the bullpen, both in free agency and trade, and then you add it to your bench. So if they could go out and find a way to add David Robertson or Chafin, either of whom or both of whom, are not looking for, you know, big contracts at this point in their career, probably 1 year for Robertson, maybe one or two for Chafin, but at low values, they could still stay way under the luxury tax, have plenty of flexibility for the season. And then they're raising the floor of their bullpen significantly. So either one of those guys would be great. I'm not sure I expect it, but I wrote about it today and I hope the Cubs do find a way to make it happen.
Find that piece and all of Michael Cirami's work covering the Cubs at BleacherNation.com. Follow him on Twitter at Michael_Cirami, and my guest for the last few minutes on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Michael, appreciate the time and the insight, man. Enjoy your night and enjoy the season.
Thanks a lot. One last thing. We're starting a Bleacher Nation Cubs podcast, so look for that. Ooh. Starting next Thursday, everywhere you get a podcast. Check that out. It's an official announcement.
Outstanding. Breaking the news right here on the show. We appreciate it, Michael. I'll check it out, my man.
All right. Thanks a lot.
And he joins me again on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. I think a lot of Cubs fans are in that same boat that Michael and I are in, where we were like, man, I wanted more from this offseason. And it makes you forget this is still a pretty good baseball team. Maybe not as good as we wanted it to look to start the season, but still a pretty good baseball team. The Bears had the audacity, the gall, the temerity to raise their ticket prices, but I know why. I know why they did it. These ticket prices are paying for something that we all wanted. Was it worth it? We'll talk about it right after this. Rami Makhlouf, Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Final segment of the Score Evening Show for this evening as we make way for DePaul basketball hosting St. John's. I'll be back on these airwaves next Thursday, I believe, if I have my schedule correct. The Bears announced today they will raise ticket prices by an average of 10% for the upcoming 2025-26 season. President Kevin Warren cited incorporating market dynamics, industry trends, and a strong home schedule. Don't you love it when corporate types just throw out terms that we don't really understand, and we all just nod and go, oh, yeah, that
I just have to
sense.
Believe them. Oh, yep.
Yeah,
those
exactly.
are the things. That's why we need to do it.
Of course the market dynamics and industry trends dictate that you had to raise of course,
I mean,
man,
those are big words. Yeah,
yes,
of course. So I must believe
them. The market dynamics and industry trends are a very powerful thing, and so is inflation, which is another thing people always throw at me as an excuse to raise prices, and none of us really know what inflation is or market dynamics or industry trends. These are just words they throw at us to make us think that there was some real thought and calculation put into the fact that they're charging us more money. He added, "The future is bright, and I am confident we are on target to build the Chicago Bears into a championship-caliber franchise, celebrating sustained success our fans have earned and deserved. Please know that your energy creates a home field advantage that is the best in sports. We need you to stand tall with our franchise and our players, and it will now cost you 10% more to do so, to stand tall with our franchise and our players." I threw in that last part. That was not in the letter to Bears season ticket holders. But man, what a crock. Seriously, what a crock. And by the way, they raised ticket prices 8%. So that's an 18% raise on your tickets over the course of the last 2 years for a team that has done nothing but lose for 5 years, at least, and for the majority of the last 10 years, have done nothing but lose and are doing so in one of the worst stadiums in the league. I was looking at NFL stadium rankings to get ready for this segment today, to get ready to lose my mind on the Bears for having the gall to ask their fans to pay more. The best article I could find for the Bears in terms of ranking the 32 NFL stadiums, they were 23rd. You're in the bottom third of stadiums in terms of the experience that you offer. You're in the bottom third of teams in terms of the quality of product you run out there on the field on a week-to-week basis. And you've raised ticket prices 18% in the last 2 years? Justify that for me. Justify that for me without using words like market dynamics and industry trends, please. And tell me more about how much Bears fans deserve while you take more money out of their pockets. It drives me crazy when rich people put their hand out for more money from the people who need it. And I did a little math. Did a little math on this 10% ticket price raise. Average ticket price last year was $370.73. By the way, the fourth most expensive ticket in the NFL. For, again, a team that runs out a bottom third team and a bottom third stadium experience. The fourth most expensive ticket in the NFL, and that was last year before a 10% ticket price increase. Soldier Field capacity, 61,500. 8 home games. I calculated the 10% increase comes out to just over $18 million in the pockets of the McCaskies and the franchise that Kevin Warren runs. $18 million. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back a little bit in the way back machine. It's not even way back. Let's go back to just a few weeks ago when Ben Johnson was hired as the Bears head coach. And Kevin Warren was asked about the reports that he asked for top dollar to be a first-time head coach. I think the number was $15 million a year, if I'm not mistaken, to get Ben Johnson to be the head coach. And he was asked about spending big bucks to bring a head coach to Chicago. This is what Kevin Warren said about that.
I'm fiscally conservative, but I am also aggressive, and I also believe in being creative, and I also believe that you get what you pay for. And so this is a situation where we needed to make sure we got the number one candidate. And it's not about the number one candidate. It was the number one candidate for the Chicago Bears.
Get creative? You mean have Bears fans pick up the bill? You went and got Ben Johnson. And if it was $15 million to get him and probably a few more million dollars for his staff, yeah, you got creative. You got creative in raising ticket prices 10% so that we could get the head coach that we wanted, so that we could get maybe a competent head coach running the Chicago Bears for the first time since Lovie Smith. I was about to say since Ditka, and that's selling Lovie a little bit short. But you had to raise ticket prices 10% to go and get a decent, what we hope is a decent head coach. Again, it's about $18 million in terms of the money that they'll get from this ticket price increase, and $15 million going to Ben Johnson. I wanted Ben Johnson, man. We all wanted Ben Johnson. We didn't think we were picking up the bill, per se, for Ben Johnson when you hired him. How about just doing something for Bears fans? How about hiring the coach that we all want and then footing the bill for it instead of holding your hands out like, oh, we did something you want, give it more money. And how about you get a new stadium? How about you figure that out, Kevin? Get creative about that to make the fourth most expensive ticket in the NFL a little bit more worth it. $18 million more going in the coffers of the McCaskies and Kevin Warren this year, thanks to you, the Bears fan. It's shameless. Shameless what they're doing. That's about going to do it for me. Got myself all worked up. Couldn't even talk to finish the show. My thanks to Herm Edwards, ESPN analyst, former NFL head coach, and Michael Cerami of BleacherNation.com, who joined me on the show tonight. If you missed that or anything on tonight's show, check it out at 670score.com or on that handy-dandy, totally free Odyssey app. Just use the rewind feature. Also, thanks to Robbie Triano on the other side of the glass for putting this whole thing together, and thanks to you for listening and contributing to the show tonight. I'll be back next Thursday. Till then, Robbie McLaw saying thanks for listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What happened? What? What?
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.